topic today is the compassion of God, and why? Why would I pick this topic? I think because in the past couple of weeks, we've heard so much about the chaos in this world. The world thinks that God is unloving because of death, disasters, pain, suffering. And they say, how would a compassionate God allow such things? And I mean, I hear that. I have people close to me that have had cancer, and it's challenging. There's a tremendous amount of anxiety out there, and we see the killings going on across campuses. A new one yesterday at Oklahoma State, and multiple individuals injured. So the purpose of this study is not to show why God allows suffering, but to see what Scripture says about God's compassion, how he showed it at different times in different ways. Then maybe we'll be reminded of God is compassionate. And to not ask him, why me? Why this happened to me? We know why you, or why me in this case. It's because we can handle it. Others can't. And so God allows us to be witnesses to them. But we want to know that regardless of circumstances, God is with us, cleaving to us. He has a plan. And despite our suffering, we need to understand that something good will come from this. It's interesting to me as I, and again, why I chose this topic is that the Hebrew word for compassion is rachem. And the root word is rachem, which is the word for womb. And so we are to think of his compassion as being womb love, which is what? It's the love of a mother when she first sees that newborn child, that little person in the flesh that has come from her. And there is no greater bond. There is no greater bond in our human capacity. And I know that those of us men in the room probably can't understand and identify with this as much as some of the women in the room, obviously, who have had children. But we can't possibly fathom what that's like. That's why we can't possibly fathom what God's love for us is. And it's because he loved us in the womb. He loved us before we were born. He chose those of us, the church of the body of Christ, before the foundation. And so this word, the Hebrew word 7, 356 and 355, has been posted here on Zoom by Tony, has to do with the bowels of compassion, the tender love, the mercy, the pity, and in places is translated the word womb as well. And its derivative has to do with compassion, has to do with love, has to do with mercy. And so we see all these different English words in the King James Version that go back to the same Hebrew word, and depending upon the circumstances, which word is actually used. And so in Psalm 139, 13, and 14, it says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And it's a totally different word. It's the Hebrew word betzen. And it is the Hebrew word 990, and it has to do with the belly or the body and the womb. It goes on in verse 14 to say, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." God knew us in the womb. The mother of the child knows that child, because they've been residing within them for 9 months, in those cases. But it's interesting that there is a different word for the female anatomy than the word for compassion. And that's what struck me, is that, okay, we can name a body part, but now we have an emotion that goes along with that body part. So the Hebrew language has a word for body or womb, but it's different than the word translated compassion. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 3 says, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, that the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion." The Hebrew word, rachem.
Yeah.
"And have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee." So the Lord warned them that I'm going to give you a blessing and a curse. They obviously strayed from him, and therefore they were due the curse. But he had compassion on them and said, "I will gather you together and return you." This is repeated in 1 Kings 8, verses 49 and 50. "Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them." And so here again we have the fact that in spite of all of their sin, in spite of all the things that they did that were against God's will, against his word, against his warning, he still had compassion on them. In 2 Kings chapter 13:23, it says, "And the Lord was gracious unto them." So we see grace and compassion hand in hand. "And had compassion on them, and had respect unto them, because of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet." So continually the Lord showed his grace. And if that's not a sign of love and compassion, I don't know what is. Think of your own children. Think of the things that they have done that you've told them, "Don't do that, or you're going to get the wooden spoon," in our case, the belt from some people, a grounding, timeout. Oh, that's pretty pathetic, but doesn't work very well. But the point is, we warned them, they went ahead and did it anyway, and yet we still love them. We still show them grace. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9, "And if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him." Time and time and time again, they were warned. I'm reading my own daily devotion in Jeremiah. The number of times that Jeremiah warned them that Babylon was going to be there, conquer them, take them captive, kill them by the sword, famine, pestilence. It was very blatant what God was telling them through his servant Jeremiah, who cried tears for them. And God was crying those same tears because he was going to be compassionate. Psalm 78:38, "But he, being full of compassion," meaning God, "forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up his wrath."
Yeah.
Again, back to our kids. How many times have you felt like, you know, you really, really need to be punished, but you withheld your anger and did not show them the full amount of wrath? This is a little different word. It's the Hebrew word 73:49, rachum, and it means to be full of compassion, but importantly, merciful. And so instead of giving them the full fury of your wrath, you may give them a little tap and say, you know, go to your room. No dinner for you. Psalm 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. How can we say that God is not a loving God if he allows these things to happen when we see that he is gracious, long-suffering, mercy, and truth are with him? Psalm 111:4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. We see grace and compassion tied together. Again, 112:4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. So he could bring his wrath upon us, which would be righteous, because he warned us. He told us not to do these things. And yet he shows his grace instead. 145:8. Love this verse because it shows something that we should emulate, again, as parents. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion. Again, this compassion is that womb love. Full of compassion and slow to anger and of great mercy. Slow to anger. How many times have something set us off that we want to immediately react and respond to, but don't? That's that womb love, especially with moms. In Isaiah 49:15, it said, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. So here you see these words combined. They're two different Hebrew words for compassion and womb. So it's the womb love from the body part womb in the same verse. Lamentations 3:32, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. And in the Old Testament, last one I'll read, Micah 7:18-19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He delights in mercy. He has joy to be merciful. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And so we see how God, so compassionate to Israel, Old Testament, to the Jews, who he had chosen as a nation, he time and time and time again, he overlooked their iniquities. Instead of giving them the wrath, he showed them mercy. He showed them compassion. Let's move to the New Testament. Let's start in Matthew 9:36. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, this is Christ, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I'm not sure how many of you have ever been on a sheep farm. Maybe you just saw a movie. But it's amazing how sheep are so stupid that they will walk off a cliff unless there is someone to herd them and shepherd them. In some cases, you see these dogs that turn them before they go over the cliff. And that's exactly what the visual is here for us, is that because in spite of the fact that they were faint-hearted, in spite of the fact that they were completely exhausted and scattered as sheep that were had no shepherd, he had compassion on them. That word is not something that I'm going to try to pronounce, but on Zoom here you've got Chico, who's posted it, and it has to do with something from the bowels, a yearning from the bowels, a feeling of sympathy or pity, to be moved with compassion. And so we see that this is the same equivalent, if you will, to the Hebrew word, because it's a compassion, a sympathy, a pity that comes from the bowels, comes from the midsection, just as the womb love, if you will, from the Old Testament. In Matthew 14:14 says, "And when Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." So out of his compassion for them came a healing. Out of his love for them came a healing. That doesn't happen in every case, right? I'm aware of that. There are individuals who get sick and are not healed. There is a reason for that, and it's not because of a lack of faith. It's a purpose that we have no understanding of. But God is compassionate time and time and time again in that he heals. And I can certainly say that from my own sake, but for also for family members, the healing that he has provided, praise the Lord, and the compassion that he's shown. Matthew 15:32, "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." He was so concerned about them. They followed him wherever he went. And it was 3 or 4 days, in this case 3, they had nothing to eat. I don't know about you, but I can't go a day without eating. I don't know how these people fast. I did it in high school when I was a wrestler. There was a purpose behind that. I don't have a purpose for fasting today. I don't have a purpose for going without food. When you see a buffet, it's pretty hard to say that I'm going to walk away from it. But here they were about to faint. They were so weary in following him. But he had compassion on them. And he went on to say, give them something to eat. In Matthew 20:30-34, "And behold, two blind men sitting on the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them, and said, What will ye that I should do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Obviously blind, right? "That our eyes may be open." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him.
Yeah.
Who else had ever done signs like that? Who else had that much compassion that he would expose his deity and a sign of his deity that he could heal? Mark 1:40-41. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." We don't know what type of leprosy this was, but it was something obviously that he had had for some time. Obviously there was some suffering involved. We see that with people today that have cancer, especially a cancer of the skin. It is sometimes shows up very similar to the symptoms of leprosy. And so back then, not having the research that they did of the different kinds of diseases, this may have been some type of melanoma, the skin cancer, etc. I have a friend that has it on his scalp. He had to have a huge piece of scalp taken out. Very, very, very painful. And so in this case, the individual said, make me clean.
Yeah.
Heal me from this leprosy. And the Lord touched him and made him clean.
Yeah.
He said, I will be thou clean. With compassion, I will that you be clean. Mark 5:19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, saying unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. This was where he had helped an individual that was lame. And he said, I will follow you. Now that I'm not lame, I'm going to follow you. And the Lord had compassion on him and said, No, go home. You need to show these individuals that the Lord's had compassion on you. They need to know the compassion of the Lord. It's a different word, and it has to do with mercy and pity. So it's not this love of the bowels, as you will, but it has to do with mercy and pity. And God is, in fact, merciful. He is, in fact, someone who shows great pity. And it has to do with consoling and helping those that are afflicted or in this case, wretched. In Mark 6:33-34, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot hither out of all cities, and out went them and came together unto them. In other words, they had an idea of where he was going, so they took off in advance and got there before him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Interesting that the role of a shepherd sometimes is to teach them. Isn't that our role here? To teach individuals. And my hope would be that given the wisdom that we're provided through the Holy Spirit, that we can go on and we can take this message of compassion, and that we can use that same compassion on others that need our pity, our mercy, our grace. Yeah. Mark 9:21-24. And he answered his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And so this is Christ talking to the father of an individual who was possessed. He said, of a child, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Not just the child, but have compassion on the parents, because they've seen the suffering of the son, and help us. Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto them, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. This is what I taught on last month. The fact that an unbeliever believed. He asked the Lord to help him believe. And the Lord, therefore, was compassionate. Not only helping him to believe, but then healing his son and casting out the demonic being that had possessed him. Luke 7:12-15. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. So he's watching this funeral procession right in front of him. Pallbearers are carrying this casket.
Yeah.
This individual was dead, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow as well. And much people of the city was with her, probably mourning, grieving. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he touched the dead person, which was a taboo. I mean, you'd be unclean if you touched a dead person. And the individual sat up in his coffin. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. Sat up in his coffin. And he said, Here's your son. He's alive. Luke 15:20, and he arose and came to his father. This is the prodigal son. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The prodigal son had gone away. He basically said, I want my inheritance, which means I wish you were dead, dad. Wish you were dead. Give me all that I deserve. Thank God that we don't say that to the Father, all that we deserve, because we deserve death. But God, in his mercy, sent his Son, had compassion on us, and saved us. You know, as you read the story of the prodigal son, the word prodigal, you know, I always thought it was just someone who went waywardly, you know, just left and then came back. That's what prodigal meant. The word prodigal in the Greek has to do with debauchery, has to do with an individual so low, so sinful, so disgustingly sinful, the things that they would do. And we have evidence of that in our society today as well. You read it in the news every single day of someone who has done some horrible, horrible, horrible things. And that's what prodigal means. It's not just one who left and came back. It's one who was completely, completely involved in debauchery.
And
Romans 9:15. This is Paul speaking, and he said, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Interesting that mercy and compassion go together. And that mercy doesn't go to everyone. It's a choice. There are individuals in foreign countries that don't know the Lord. There's no mercy there. But those who know Him, He exercises pity on them. That's what this Greek word for compassion means. Oitero, it means to have compassion. Again, Chico, thank you for posting, and I'm not looking at Pal Talk, so I'm sure Tony's doing the same. Thank you both. Hebrews 5:2. Who could have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. This word compassed is not the same word as compassion. It's compassed, meaning circum around. They're so much infirmity surrounds them, if you will. And God had compassion. In spite of their ignorance, in spite of the fact that they did not know Him, God had mercy, had compassion on them. And it is the root word of the word that we saw earlier, Elo. It has to do with compassion, with grace, with mercy, and pity. Further in Hebrews 10:34, and he had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. So, this is Paul telling them, thank you for having compassion on me in spite of my bonds. You gave of yourselves, and you will have something even greater. But it's this compassion that they had, and it's a different word. It's not the same word of God's compassion on us. It's the compassion that an individual has to another individual, and it has to do with sympathy. And the only example I could give is that there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Empathy is knowing, because of experience, what a person's going through. Christ knows what we're going through because He suffered. And that's empathy. But this compassion here is sympathy. Feeling bad for somebody else. So sorry. Sympathy. To commiserate. To be touched with feeling, it says, sympatho. It's where we get the word sympathy, obviously. In 1 John 3:17, it says, but whoso has this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his of compassion. Interesting that these are combined. Bowels of compassion from him who dwelleth the love of God in him. So John's asking, you know, how can you say that you have the love of God and yet you don't show this compassion that comes from your midsection, just like the love of a mother towards their newborn child. It's a different Greek word here. It has to do It's translated bowels more often than not. It has to do with an inward affection. And again, it is not what God feels for us. It's what we feel for someone else.
Yeah.
Two more verses in Jude 1:21 and 22 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Again, different word than God's compassion on us. This is what we have towards others.
Yeah.
Is the word ilu, to have compassion or pity. We see a homeless person, we pity them. If we have compassion, we'll actually do something for them. And so in conclusion, God has shown great compassion for his creation throughout history, not only on Israel, but as the Creator, he's shown mercy as a mother does of her unborn and newborn child, one that came from her womb, so it is womb love. That's the compassion, especially known in the Hebrew. Nothing is stronger than that love, so she will respond whenever the child is crying because they are hungry or cold or tired or hurt. God responds to us in the same compassion, grace, mercy, and love. And I'll leave you with one last verse in Ephesians, because you'll note that I did not give one single example from Ephesians, Colossians, or the other prison ministries. Paul did not necessarily talk about compassion here. But in Ephesians 3:19, he says, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that she might be filled with the fullness of God. And so that's what we're going to pick up next time. We've talked about compassion. Next time we're going to talk about the love of God. Until then, I hope that you show compassion to others, knowing that God has shown such great compassion in our ignorance to us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you that you show us your word, and that we can dig deep into it. And digging deep, we find those gems, little morsels of gold that we can dwell on all week long, all month long in some cases, that we can be encouraged by it, and we can encourage others, that we can comfort others as we have been comforted, that we can show compassion, grace, mercy, and pity, sympathy, empathy to our fellow man, to our fellow believers, just as Christ has shown us and pulled us from our ignorance, from our sin, and given us life through Christ. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.